I want to talk about kind of a part two to last week, but if you're just new here or visiting, it's okay. It will kind of stand on its own, the message. But God with us, and it will be part two. Just as we meditate and think about what the season is all about, we kind of looked at the background to the Christmas story last week, kind of the things that set up the birth of Christ. And now I want to kind of see some of the implications of the birth of Christ for us. Kind of our main text is in Matthew 1, verse 23. And it says this: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." Let's pray as we get into the word. Our Father, we thank you for coming for us, Lord. We thank you that you came for a people who were in darkness, who were lost, and you came on a rescue mission, Lord, as we saw last week. You came to seek and save the lost. You came to save your people from their sins. Thank you that you came and were born humbly, but you came with a purpose. You came to die on the cross, Lord. We thank you that you love us that much, God, that you would send your Son and that you would accomplish that for us, Father. And so we ask you, bless our time as we kind of think through this, Lord, that you would remind us of your promises, remind us of your truth, of your word, that we can always trust you no matter what season we're in. However this year has gone for us, Lord, we can always look to you and be reminded of your love. And so we pray you bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this quote here in Matthew 1, verse 23, is from the book of Isaiah, right? And so this is a prophecy that Jesus is fulfilling. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is such an amazing thing. I think as you've heard many Christmas messages, I'm sure some of you, this isn't new news for you. But I think this cannot become lost on us. The fact that God chose to enter into this broken world, the world that he created, humanity, these people he created who have rebelled against him, Christ chooses to come, enter that world, leave the glory of heaven, enter the darkness of earth, all so that we might be saved. If we want to know what God is like, we need to look at Jesus, right? That's what Scripture is telling us, that Jesus is God with us. He's with us on the mountaintops as you go through good things in life. He's with us in our failures, in our sins, in our weaknesses. He's with us in all those things, in life and in death, prosperity and times of struggle. God is with us. And Jesus comes, and he's not born in a palace. He's born in a manger. There was no room for him in the inn. That's so crazy. The very world that he made, there wasn't room for him to be born into. And he chose to come into this world, right? We don't choose the way we're born. We don't choose the family that we're born into. But God can do that, right? God can choose which family line he wants to be born into. And is it a palace or is it a manger? And he chooses to come humbly. He identifies with us in our brokenness. John says in John 1 verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." This living Word, the Son of God, came and dwelt among us. He became like one of us, except he had no sin. And John says we've seen his glory. We're actually seeing what God is like as we look at Jesus. He declares what the Father's like. He shows us who God is. He's with us. As you go out and as you guys celebrate, and I hope you have a good time. I hope that you're able to enjoy family and friends. But don't forget that Jesus came, that he's with us. Right? And you have that message. And that message is meant to be given to other people. As you're celebrating with family, I know there's people that don't know the Lord. There's friends that we were like, man, I wish that they would come to know Jesus. Be encouraged, because look, there's a group of people here who Christ has laid hold of. And Christ is still wanting to do that. He's still wanting to work in this way. The coming of Christ demands a response. Right? You're either going to reject him or accept him. The Bible is very clear. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. To be in the middle, to be indifferent, is to reject. Right? I know people sometimes are seeking, and as they're seeking, the Lord, I believe, will give them more light. But this scripture in John, we see a few verses earlier in John 1, verse 10 and 11, it says that people he came to did not receive him. They rejected him. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. This is so mind-boggling for us. If you were the creator, you create a certain group of people, you would hope that they would like you. You would hope that they would thank you, right? He enters this world that he created. It's so crazy that the world didn't know him. He came to his own. His own people did not receive him. Notice what happens in verse 11 through 13, John 1. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So some people reject him, some people accept him, but we need to respond to what he's done. To him entering the world, that demands a response from us. And John here promises, hey, you know, and really the scripture is like, no one's going to seek after God on their own accord, right? God must first come after you. God moves, his spirit draws you. And he's still doing that, again, this to this day. He's still drawing people. But when God moves on a person, he enables them to believe. He enables them to receive that message. And he says, hey, it's your choice. It's a personal decision that you make. For all the people who receive him, who believe in his name, he gives them the right to become children of God. It's not that we try to earn our status as children of God or maintain it by doing good works. It's that God has gifted us because of Christ. He says, all of my favor, all of my pleasure is in my Son. If you receive my Son, you have perfection, right? Yes, of course, you're a sinner. You need grace. But when God looks at you, he's looking at you through the lens of Christ. What did the Father say of Christ? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's well pleased with his Son. And to those who receive Christ, he gives them the right to become children of God. Jesus is not only God with us, but he's God in us. This is big. Once someone responds to the gospel, they receive this, they become born again, the scripture's clear, the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of you. God not only dwells with you, but in you. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 through 20. He's speaking about sexual immorality and how we need to flee from it. And look at what he says. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. As Paul is speaking to the Corinthians about this very important issue, he says, hey, you need to understand something. When you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes to reside within you. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit's a person. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. That's why when you choose to sin, sometimes you feel like that, like, oh, your conscience in tandem with the Holy Spirit, you feel that grieving effect. You're like, oh, this is not the way. This is not what I should be doing. The Holy Spirit's wanting to lead you into life. He's within you. And again, the Holy Spirit's job is to make you holy, right? That's why he's the Holy Spirit. So he wants to lead you in the path of life. And honestly, there are certain issues where you might have a different view than Scripture. You might think, especially when it comes to sexual sin or sexual views on certain things, that I know best. This seems kind of oppressive. This seems kind of like archaic. You know what I mean? Like, this seems a little old school, but I'm telling you, the Word of God, everything in it is for our good. It's not meant to just restrict you. It's meant to lead you on the path of fullness of joy. That's what Jesus says. All of these commands are so that your joy may be made full. When you receive the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. You're under new ownership. So many of the struggles, you know, sometimes I'm talking to people and it's like, there's a number of struggles, but so much of the root of it is you don't understand that you don't own you anymore. Like, you still think you're calling the shots, you know? Like, think about your own issues and your own stuff. You're like, if I would understand this verse here, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. That means, like, there's a cross for me to carry. That means that, like, I'm no longer, like, the Lord and Savior of my life. I'm not the one calling the shots because Christ has purchased me. He's bought me back from death. He's given me new life. So much of our struggles can be traced to this issue. I don't own me anymore, but oftentimes I act like I do. And where does that lead? It leads to sin. I make bad decisions. It leads to death. But the Lord would want to remind us, hey, I am in you. The Holy Spirit of God is within you. He wants to lead you into life. Paul says in Galatians 4, verse 6, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This is crazy. You might say, where's the daughters, right? Sons and daughters. But sons, there's the special privileges, right, that sons have. And it's using this language of saying, this is how God sees us. We are His children. We are His sons. And He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And the Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. There's this connection with the Father that was not previously there. But the Holy Spirit helps us in this way. He's God in us. And lastly, He's God for us. When you look at Romans 8, you know, I know all Scripture is inspired of God, but people have said, hey, this is one of some people's favorite chapters in all the Bible, Romans 8. Paul's going on this long thing about God and His promises and His love. And there's a lot here, but I might just read some scriptures here in this text. Romans 8, verse 31. Paul kind of concludes and says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? This is what we conclude. The fact that God came down to dwell among us, that He sent His Spirit to live inside of us, this tells us, we don't have to guess, God is for us, right? Like, I don't know how the year's gone for you. I know some of it's been rough, but I think as you understand the promises of God, you remind yourself of His faithfulness. One thing that you come away with is, you know what? Through all of this craziness, I know God is for me. He's for me. I might not see it or understand it or like know how it all works out, but God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? We talked about this last week. If God has not spared His own Son for you, do you think He's trying to hold out on these other issues that are important to you? No, He's not trying to hold back. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Do you ever feel condemned? Something you've done? This language here that's being brought? Like there are charges against you? You come to church, you're like, man, I don't fit in with these people. These people are like pure and holy, and I'm like a struggler. He says here, who could possibly bring a charge against you? You're in Christ Jesus. Who could possibly condemn you? Because Christ is the one who was condemned for you. He's the one who died. And so as you get those thoughts, I know there's times where we get hit with those things. You have to remind yourself of the truth. You know what? Am I guilty? Yes. Did Christ bear the weight of all my sin? Yes, I'm accepted. Even though my feelings are telling me I feel rejected, I feel condemned, I feel like there are charges against me. You have to preach the gospel yourself. The Lord cried, it's finished on the cross. He's covered you completely. You stand in his grace. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. It's not a coffee cup verse, right? We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. But think about how encouraging this is for people out in the world. This is super foreign for us, but there are people dying for their faith. Like, as we're here, I think we have to remember them, right? Like, they're out there. They're part of the body of Christ. And the scripture says that we're all one body. We can focus very much on here in the States, but we must remember our brothers and sisters at this moment, there are people who are paying a heavy price to follow Christ. And Paul still says, who himself had endured a lot of tribulation, a lot of distress, persecution, he says, what could possibly separate us from the love of Christ? He's like, I've been there. I've been beaten. I've been close to death. I've been persecuted. And yet, these things pale in comparison to the love of God. Nothing can separate us. He goes on in verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You're a super conqueror through Christ Jesus. You're not just barely getting by, but you overwhelmingly conquer through Christ, the one who loved us. He says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. My hope for you today is that you would know how secure and how safe you are in the love that God has for you. That as we kind of approach 2023, that we would just make it our aim to say, you know what, I want to be steadfast in understanding the love that God has for me. Maybe this year was not a year of spiritual growth. Maybe I was floundering a lot more than I thought. Like, I look back at the beginning of the year, last year, it's like, I'm still kind of in the same place. Maybe you're discouraged by that. I just want you to know that the love that God has for you is not based upon your performance, right? He's like, okay, you did great. Oh, check that off. Bible reading, prayer. I guess I'll love you more. No, you are loved because you are in Jesus Christ. And so I just hope the gospel would propel us forward this year as we go into 2023, that we would say, you know what? I want to be established in the grace of God this year. And as you do that, you will find yourself wanting to read your Bible. You'll find yourself wanting to pray when you realize that you're accepted, not because you do those things, but apart from those things. When you understand and meditate on the love that God has for you, it transforms your heart. It goes from a duty to a privilege, from duty to delight. Sometimes we have to start out that way. Sometimes it feels like a grind. You're like, I just need to open this book up. It feels like I'm dry, like I'm not getting anything. But maybe you start that way, and the hope is that we go from duty to delight, and we recognize, you know what, we're so loved by God. God came down and dwelt among us. He gave us the Spirit to dwell inside of us, and he's for us.